Is a no-deal Brexit about to be taken off the table? The Conservative ministers have threatened to resign unless it is axed, and Jeremy Corbyn has said he's going to do everything in his power to prevent no-deal from happening. Labour, last night, introduced the prospect of another referendum on the Labour on the line. The Labour Party leader, the Labour Party member, Phil Kelly. Good morning to you, Phil.
Not leader yet.
Not leader yet, Phil. Not yet. And the loyalist blogger, Jimmy Bryson. Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. So, Mr. Bryson, you're an ardent Brexiteer, and it looks like Labour are going to go for another referendum.
Well, it's just the latest in an appalling series of attempts to override the democratic will of the people. How many of these so-called people's votes will we have? What this is actually all about is they want people to vote and vote again until they get the decision that they want.
Who voted for a no-deal Brexit?
Well, if you go back to the ballot paper, the question was to leave or to remain in the European Union. And the people voted to leave. There was nothing that said, well, leave, except in these circumstances, it was leave or remain. And the people voted to leave.
Except so what you're forgetting about is many Brexiteers before people voted were telling them it'll be no problem getting a deal with the EU. It'll be no problem doing all of these. The easiest deal ever. Liam Fox said that. And this is what was being pumped to people before they voted.
Well, there was quite a lot of things being pumped to people on the main side of the argument as well. But what if you follow the logic of that, and I know you like following the logic, but the outcome of that...
See if you say that more than one more time.
You're saying to 17.4 million, not you, but that particular argument is saying to 17.4 million people, you're too stupid to think for yourselves. And therefore, we need to make you go back and you have to vote again because you were too stupid the first time and you made the wrong decision. And that is at the core of this. And this is what this is all about. This is all about overriding the democratic will of the people. They went to court to try and stop it. They went to the Supreme Court to try and stop it. They then wanted it to go to Parliament. They now want it to go to a people's vote. And if they lose what they call a people's vote, which is essentially a loser's vote, where do they go next? Where's their next step? And nobody has answered the question for me. How many people's votes are we going to have? How many times do we vote? So if the main wins a second time, well then I want a third vote. And if I win, or the Leave campaign wins, then surely the main will want a fourth vote. Will we just vote every year? Will we turn it into like the FA Cup?
Phil Kelly?
Well, what Jimmy fails to understand is the political reality, and that is that Parliament is deadlocked. So, like Jimmy, I would have huge personal reservations over a second referendum, and that's why Labour's policy was to firstly ask for a general election, so the deadlock of Parliament could be broken. Secondly, to put forward the Labour version of Brexit, which this is what Leavers need to understand, people like Jamie, people like the ERG, the only form of Brexit that is deliverable, that can unify people, that can get a huge mandate, is the kind of soft Brexit that Labour are offering. There's simply no appetite in the country for the kind of ERG fantasy Brexit, which will be devastating to jobs and the economy. Now, we have been thwarted in that process, so Theresa May is clinging desperately to power, so she won't call a general election because she fears that Corbyn will win. Secondly, she won't reach out. She pretends that she'll reach out across the aisles, but she won't accept the logical, sensible version of Brexit, which is a customs union, single market access, which will not destroy jobs or the economy. And that leaves Labour in the position now where, I mean, ultimately the members make policy within the Labour Party, and the membership of the Labour Party is overwhelmingly Remain. So by being pushed into this choice between a bad deal and no deal, then the option of people's vote comes onto the political landscape. And in that context of a no deal or a terrible Tory deal, then Labour would campaign for Remain.
Look, this is all flowery language, and this is all designed to cloak the ultimate objective. And you've given the ultimate objective away. It is to stay in the customs union, or a customs union, and the single market.
The
European Union is a tripartite structure of the European Court of Justice, the single market, and the customs union. So explain to me, if you are within the customs union, you're within the single market, how are you actually leaving the European Union? It's like getting a divorce and just moving into the spare room. You know, it's an absurdity.
that's the idiocy of the referendum that David Cameron put to the people, because leave doesn't mean leave. It means a variety of different things. It's not simple. It's not an easy process, and there's many different ways that you can extract yourself. But Jimmy, don't run away from the central issue. The central issue is this. If you want to know, Jimmy, if you want to know what the country feels, if you want to know what kind of Brexit, you know, a detailed Brexit that the country will back and unify around, then a general election is the only way to do that. And in that context, you will get a Corbyn-led Labour government.
Well, that's not true, is it? Because a general election, the political parties would be standing on a whole range of issues and not just Brexit. So how on earth? A general election is your lust for power. That's what that's about. It's not about Brexit, is it?
Look, Stephen, ultimately, I think we have to face that Brexit is the big issue of the day. It needs to be dealt with. We've had 3 years approaching now of instability, where business is losing out, insecurity, the country can't move forward, the Parliament is deadlocked. We need to stand a general election.
Okay, I want to see what people think. I want to see what people think at home this morning. 030 30 80 55 55. Frankie and Clock Mills. Morning, Frankie.
Good morning, everybody. I was just thinking that it seems to me we've already had a referendum. And everybody decided to leave. And then about a year later...
Well, 52% decided to leave throughout the UK. 48% decided they didn't want to leave. The majority in Northern Ireland wanted to remain.
Would you stop making...
You're making my point well for me, Stephen. Thank
you. What are you saying, Bright? Hold on a minute, Frankie. What did you say?
Hold on.
Would I stop doing what? I'll do whatever I want.
Stop. Stop promoting that point. That is a nonsense point.
I'm not promoting any point. I'm stating facts.
Please do, Stephen. It's my point as well.
I'm stating the facts.
Hold on. Do you want to divide, or not you, but let's follow that point. You want to divide up into towns and cities. The vote was a regional vote.
No. I think it's completely relevant in the context of a Northern Ireland show for me to point out the majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain. 55.8% of the electorate in Northern Ireland who voted to remain. The majority voted to remain in Northern Ireland. The majority voted to leave throughout the UK.
If it's a Northern Ireland show, and the logic is we're going to divide it up into what areas voted to leave and what areas voted to remain within the United Kingdom, well then why don't you go through the list of every part of Northern Ireland that voted to leave or remain?
Anything else you're talking about, Jamie? Do you often talk about Dorset?
The United Kingdom voted to leave. It was a United Kingdom vote in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is as much part of the United Kingdom.
Okay, Frankie, go ahead. You make your point.
My point is this. We had the referendum. The decision was that we'd leave. Right, and then we waited another year, and then Theresa May needed that decision endorsed. Well, it seems to me that, you know, if she hadn't got trounced at the last election, everybody that wanted to leave would have went out and voted for Brexiteer politicians, but they didn't. That's the reason we're now, and we've already had the change of mind. That's the reason we're in the state we are now. Everybody would have went out and voted for politicians that wanted to leave. Wouldn't be in this state. Would have just left without a deal, and that would have been it, and you'd have nothing to talk about for 2 years.
Labour stood on a manifesto that they would implement the result of the referendum.
That's true, Phil Kelly. I was looking at actually the Labour manifesto last night, and that is what it said. They would respect the result of the referendum.
But the people didn't.
If I could answer that, at every turn Labour has tried to do that, and that was firstly by offering the credible kind of Brexit that can deliver a mandate within the House of Commons, break the deadlock, because the only deliverable Brexit, and again, leavers need to understand this, is the kind of soft Brexit offered by Labour. There is no appetite in Parliament or the country for the kind of crazy ERG-inspired Brexit of no deal. And I would say this, you know, let me agree with Jamie in one way here, because he's right, people did vote to leave what they see as a dysfunctional European Union. And I, as a Remainer, believe the European Union is utterly dysfunctional. But what Brexit has clearly revealed is that there's another dysfunctional union, and that's the union of the United Kingdom, because you've got Scotland, where, you know, there's a growing appetite for independence, where people want to remain in the European Union. And within Ireland, within the north of Ireland, people here rejected Brexit. So that leads to big fault lines within that other dysfunctional union of the UK. But let me give Jamie some hope, because, you know, if you think about it, will a second referendum get through Parliament? I don't think it will. I think what will happen is you'll see 90% of the Tory party rejecting that, and also huge swathes
of the Labour Party who represent Leave constituencies, but also fear the kind of bitterness and toxicity that a second referendum may inspire. So therefore, we come back to the only logical conclusion to break the political impasse is to stand on a general election where Labour can deliver a form of Brexit that it will not decimate jobs, decimate the economy and ruin people's lives.
Well, the person who can call an election, Theresa May, ain't going to call one, is she? Brian and Anderson's time. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Well, Stephen, there should be another vote because people, and you've said it many times on your programme, people have been told lies on both sides of the camp. They've been told lies. At least now, it's last 2 years, they have some idea of what the consequences are going to be if Leaving or Leaving with no deal.
But
so
what
forth.
You don't have, Brian, to be fair to the Brexiteers, is you don't have an idea of what the opportunities will be if you don't get involved in Project Fear and you let Brexit play out. It could be the best thing ever happened to this country.
Well, Stephen, you know, I've talked to people and know what they're saying. It's better staying in the way we were because that's saying the devil you know. I mean, people have said to me... Like,
how do you know if we haven't left?
Stephen, I only go on my personal experience. I go back to when the common market, then when it was changed to the EU. And it didn't... I knew we were in it, but it didn't affect me in any way. You know, it didn't affect me one way or another.
Well, how's it going to affect you if we leave?
Well, go back to status quo. Go back to where we were. That's what...
Well, Stephen...
Hold on, Jimmy.
Listen, another thing too, Stephen. I don't know why Jimmy Brayson's on your show. I'd like the BBC to put on some experts on, professional people, professional businessmen. I don't know why Jimmy Brayson's on your show.
Well, we have those people on as well, and Jimmy represents a section of the community and he's as entitled to be on the show as you are, Brian.
Some of the things he said in the past I totally don't agree with, and I think you know where I'm coming from. And
you have to agree with me. So anyway, every time Brian comes on, every time I'm on the show, Brian comes up and makes the same point. So I'm not, do you know what, let's not even answer it again. What was the question in relation to what we're speaking about, Stephen?
Listen, what we're speaking about is Brian's making it clear that the status quo is better and let's have another referendum to give at least people the chance, now that they've seen the lies on both sides,
correct.
Let's give people the chance to express how they feel with the benefit of having watched this play out over the last couple of years. What are you afraid of?
What astonishes me is the very people that make that point are the same people who are the key champions of the Belfast Agreement. And if I turned around and said, well...
Who's talking about the Belfast Agreement?
Look at what we didn't know when people voted in 1998, and people do know now, let's have another vote in the Belfast Agreement. The same people would almost fall off their chairs and would be absolutely apoplectic.
20-odd years of peace you're talking about.
No, hold on. We always do not equate peace with the process. The two things have been entwined to say that you can't have one without another. If the logic of this is that a political agreement is the only thing, that you have to vote for a political agreement because if you don't, it might damage peace, then you're giving a veto to those who do that violence, and that is a very dangerous
democratic
society to be in.
What are you talking about, Stephen?
Well, I'm answering your point. I'm following.
I'm not talking about the troubles here. I'm talking about people's lives.
I'm not talking about the troubles either.
The economy.
We're talking about why you want to have a second vote. The logic if you want to have a second vote is you know things now that you didn't know at the time that you voted. So I turn that logic on you and I say, well, we know things now we didn't know at the time of the Belfast Agreement, so do you also want to have a second vote? Not follow the logic of your own position.
I'm talking about, will you listen to what I said instead of talking like Captain Spock or logic, yes. I'm talking about what we know now. I mean, did you listen to the programmes on TV?
Your own point.
Hold on, let him finish.
Listen to the programmes like, for instance, the Question Time, Panorama, especially Question Time. And what I listen to people who voted to leave, now what they're hearing, they've said they would vote to stay. Now, this is because they're listening to the lies on both sides. And people are a bit more educated now on what they see. And that's why they want another vote.
Stephen,
it's a pretty Phil Kelly next. Phil, it's a pretty strong argument, is it not? That with the benefit now of people having seen and heard over the last couple of years more and more Brexit information, then maybe their vote this time would be more informed. Now that could lead to an even bigger percentage for Brexit But would it not be a more informed vote now that people have heard a lot more about Brexit?
I still don't think it is, and let me disagree with both Brian and Jamie, because going into a second referendum, offering to defend the status quo is not going to be enough to convert 52% of the electorate. Remain is no longer enough, and any kind of reprieve for the status quo politically is not deliverable. It needs to be much more ambitious. And let me challenge Jamie, because Jamie supports Brexit, okay? He would align himself with DUP thinking and possibly the ERG, and yet Jamie says he represents, or, you know, is one of a loyalist working class community. There is nothing going to be more devastating than the kind of Tory Brexit, which is all about deregulation, which is about opening up the National Health Service to full rampant marketisation and privatisation. Now, you've already seen this, and Brian alluded to it. Remain is better than the kind of world trade offer going out into the bright world, absolutely, because you saw Japan, which signed a major trade deal with the EU, but it has said it's interested in a trade deal with the UK as long as regulations can be stripped. You've seen the USA allude to the same, that they're happy to sign trade deals with the UK, but they want regulations, workers' rights, everything slashed, and they're also very keen in opening up our National Health Service to speculators. Now, for Jamie to be standing as a representative of working class people saying, I want the kind of Brexit which is about stripping workers of their rights, stripping regulations that protect the environment and industry away, that's just ridiculous. So what I would say is...
Well, what's ridiculous, also, Phil, is you not introducing the possibility that a sovereign parliament could introduce those workers' rights you talk about. When you say they're stripped away, this country would have the ability to put them back in, or even better, have the independence to do what this to protect workers as much as they wanted to.
That's exactly. So therefore,
it doesn't stop us protecting workers.
I'm trying to answer your point. Therefore, the only kind of pro-working class, working people, the only kind of pro-Brexit is pro-ordinary citizens, is one that would be delivered by a Labour government.
You reckon?
That's why we need a general...
Now we know what this is all about. This is all about a lust for power. This is all about getting a Labour government. So
no,
it doesn't...
Let's let Jamie speak now, Phil.
Hold on.
Misery. That's what it's about. Ending
Stephen,
the misery.
Hold on.
Stephen put forward a very good question in relation to when the United Kingdom leave the European Union, a sovereign parliament could put all those protections in for workers' rights. Now, you don't care. If the Conservative government put in all the protections for workers' rights that you want and demand, you still wouldn't support that because you want to have a Labour government. So this is essentially, on your point of view, Phil, all about getting political power. And that's what the Labour Party's about. But here's a key point in all of this. See, in the absence of a parliamentary majority for anything else, only statute can overturn statute. And the statutory position is that we're leaving on the 29th of March with no deal. So all the motions in the world isn't going to stop that.
That's not true, is it? Because Article 50 could be extended.
Only statute can override statute.
Well, Jamie, you know, I would say that the kind of Brexit you believe in is fantasy, but I'd also say your understanding of political history is a fantasy when you think that any Tory government would defend workers' rights, because history consistently proves that is not the case. Now, Stephen's right.
I thought the Yvette Cooper amendment took no deal off the table, by the way.
No.
What do you mean, no?
The default legal position is we still leave.
Do you think you're Ironside?
Hold on. Well, get Joshua Rosenberg on and ask him. No, only statute can override statute. That amendment did not take no deal. The default legal position is that we leave on the 29th of March.
That is true, but there's an amendment being tabled, and Article 50 could be extended.
The government would have to extend Article 50.
Correct.
Timely legislation can only be laid by the Crown.
The government could extend Article 50.
Can only be laid,
and Theresa May is going to be making a speech today to the House of Commons, and let's see what she says about, because she hasn't ruled no deal out, and there's lots of speculation that she may do today.
In the absence of the government doing that, or a general election, or a parliamentary majority for primary legislation, then no deal is the default option. Only
which, Stephen, is where we're at.
It's a basic fact.
Have political forces in the House of Commons and the country now saying that they will not accept a government that is driving at full speed towards a cliff edge.
But where's your primary legislation?
That's why
the war is the legislation
approach,
being laid before Parliament.
The correct approach,
primary legislation, which can only be laid by an agent or a minister.
Bryson's been reading his legal books now. William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen, Remainers need to be careful what they wish for. A second referendum, could you imagine the message, they didn't hear you first time, make sure they hear you second time. And remember, I think the DUP was the only party in the United Kingdom that voted for Brexit. Every other party, Scottish Nationalists, Welsh Nationalists, Labour, Conservative, Liberals, all voted to remain, plus help from the President of the United States, the International Monetary Fund. Be careful what you wish for, Remainers.
And Robert and Carrickfergus. Morning, Robert.
Stephen, a couple of points, but can I pull something up where Phil Kelly said about the workers' rights and that?
Yes.
He said about people, workers having their rights when a Tory government. The Labour Party support the unions who pull people out of work and put them on strike when they don't want to be. Some people want to work and they're not allowed to work on. So where's the workers' rights? Are people want to work and they pull them off the street, onto the streets? But I wanted to get back to the...
Do you want to let Phil respond to that?
Please let me. Yeah, because it is the right to strike, which is one workers in the United Kingdom and many countries across this globe, their rights that they enjoy today. It is that collective bargaining, is that standing together in solidarity that has advanced workers' rights. And actually, a Labour government would go further. It would empower
What about the people that don't want to go on strike and they're forced to go on strike and they lose their money, which they can't afford to lose? What about them people?
Well, look, I think you need to look at Labour history and look at what...
Look at Labour history.
The country has gained from workers standing together in...
We're going off on a wee bit of a tangent here, Robert, aren't we?
Yes, well, I wanted to pull him up now, but the point I was bringing up about originally was... How do these Remainers know exactly what's going to happen when Brexit takes place? The doom and gloom merchants, you know...
The Brexiteers don't,
the Remainers don't. But give it a chance and see. If it turns around, people always use the argument, if this happens against us and Britain loses all its work and all this here, would the Brexiteers were saying, would the Remainers were saying, if it goes the other way and Britain becomes prosperous? And also this peace process that's being derailed because of Brexit, we wouldn't have needed a peace process. The people that's calling for this peace process that's going to be derailed is Sinn Féin and Nationalists, Republicans. We wouldn't have needed that if they hadn't been causing mayhem in the country. And Martina Anderson's telling the European Union this here. Martina Anderson's the one. What is going to happen with the peace process that's going to be derailed? Is she going to put her mask back on again to back the war?
Well, Martina Anderson is an elected representative who has a mandate from law-abiding nationalists to represent her. And maybe you should respect her mandate.
I respect the mandate. But the point is, Stephen, she turns around and threatens about the peace process. Well, wouldn't I need
She wasn't threatening the peace process. She wasn't threatening the peace process.
Yes, she was trying to protect it.
She would argue that she was trying to protect it.
Well, wouldn't I need it if I hadn't been for Alexa Hoare?
Well, I think that quite a few people in Northern Ireland, Robert, have an understanding that there was conflict on all sides.
Stephen, they were the ones bombing the buildings, bombing people out of their jobs and all. It was Emmons that was doing it. The IRA were doing it. So they were. They were the ones that caused all the mayhem.
That's your rounded assessment of Northern Ireland, is it?
No, there was trouble on both sides.
Exactly.
But listen.
It's also 20 years ago, Robert.
Who was bombing the economy? Was it loyalists? No. Loyalists took part in their fair share of violence too.
But look, what is there to gain from getting into this morning when we're talking about Brexit?
Because the Remainers, the likes of Sinn Féin and all, are threatening us, saying we're going to be so much worse off and all. They don't know. That's the point. Give it a chance. The vote was taken. Give it a chance. It's not just Sinn Féin saying that, is it?
The local business communities, there have been business leaders saying it. The governor of the Bank of England's been predicting some of the outcomes of a no-deal Brexit.
I've heard the Bank of England, it was in the Telegraph, I think, last week, that they turned around and says that this Project Fear, that wouldn't happen. So what story are we going to believe? Everything that's on the media seems to be believing that it's the country's going to
Robert,
be...
Robert, you're clearly a Brexiteer. State. We'll see if we can line up a Remainer caller
If Robert has faith in this Tory government delivering a prosperous Brexit, he may reflect on the fact that the Tories, since they came to power in 2010, have shrunk the economy by $100 billion thanks to their failed austerity measures. I wouldn't have much faith in a Tory Brexit delivering...
What did Tony Blair and Labour do before
that? Can we just get back to the key point? 17.4 million people voted to leave the European Union. Union. Let's just take it back to that key point. Let's stop diverting it off in the all sorts of angles with all sorts of people whose ultimate objective is always to override the democratic will of the British people. That is the ultimate objective of all these scare stories of project fear, of going to the courts, of trying to give Parliament to vote, and then when Parliament doesn't vote the right way, then try and let the people vote again, and then no doubt let the people vote again if they don't vote the right.
When you're talking about democratic wills, Jimmy Bryson, what about the democratic will of the people to take down the union flag from the City Hall that you objected to?
I did object to that, yes.
What about that democratic mandate?
Well, what we had there was the Prime Civic Building in the capital city and a part of the United Kingdom where the union flag was torn down.
What about the democratic majority that wanted it taken down?
By a pan-nationalist coalition.
What about the democratic majority that wanted it taken down? So let me get this right. You like democratic... You stand by democratic majorities when it suits you with Brexit, but when it's here in Northern Ireland, you want to overturn democratic majorities, do you?
No, you see, what we had was the people of Northern Ireland, as per this pernicious Belfast agreement, voted to the main by the principle of consent within the United Kingdom. That is the position. So therefore, whilst you're within the United Kingdom, it should be a legal right that all citizens have the same rights in relation to their sovereignty. And therefore, the union flag should be entitled to fly in every part of the United Kingdom, especially on Prime Civic Bill.
What about the vote?
365.
You wanted to undermine the vote in that circumstance, didn't you?
The Good Friday Agreement where it said the government went back in with...
A pan-nationalist
coalition. All right. We'll pause there. Loads of your calls coming in this morning. Here's Kieran in Limavady. Morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I would like to ask Mr. Bryson there.
Yes.
Is Jimmy still there?
Unfortunately.
Yes. Nice, Stephen, nice.
Is he still there?
Logical response. Go ahead.
I would like to ask Jimmy, does he know what the WTO rules are? And he wants to leave. He wants a hard Brexit. Does he know what WTO stands?
I want the democratic will of the British people to be the...
Is that what he's asking you?
If you let me answer. Which is to leave the European Union. That...
Do you know what the WTO rules are?
Leaving the customs union, leaving a single market and being outside...
You're not answering the question.
You know what the World Trade Organization...
WTO rules this, Jimmy.
WTO...
Unless you don't know it, I'll yell.
If you let me answer the question.
Hold on now, Kieran.
You know the WTO rules.
Hold on, Kieran.
WTO rules will give us the opportunity to make trade deals.
No, Jimmy, no. First start.
We can give us the opportunity to make trade deals.
Hold on, Jimmy, could you explain to us what the WTO rules will dictate happens after we leave?
Well, WTO rules will be a particular type of rules and regulations which will govern the making of trade.
Yes, I know that, but what will they dictate? Give us an example of what will...
Give me a couple. We will be able to go out into the rest of the world and make trade deals.
What will the WTO rules be? What will they do to the prices, for example?
Some prices could increase, but some prices could decrease.
Right. So what type of products will increase?
This is ridiculous.
You were on about leaving, and you're on about going out to the big world, and you're going to go under WTO rules. So tell me what the WTO rules mean.
What rules do you want to know?
Do you know what the WTO rules are?
The WTO rules have many forms. Many parts.
Don't give us them all. Tell us what products will increase in price because of tariffs, Jimmy.
Look,
what type of products?
I do not know precisely what products will increase.
You don't know. Do you know any? I'm not talking about precise. Do you know any products will increase?
Look, I'm not going to commit myself to particular types of products.
Jimmy, we don't actually know.
So you're deep reading of Brexit, Jimmy, and you haven't a clue. What tariffs will be brought in because of WTO?
Because here's the point. The people of the United Kingdom voted to leave.
Hold on, Kieran. Let Jimmy finish.
The people of the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. And I am going to be very honest, and I am going to say something that many Brexiteers believe and won't say, but I'm going to say it openly. It doesn't matter if there's economic disadvantage. The people voted to leave.
If there is
economic pain that comes with that, then in my mind that is a
When you say it doesn't matter.
Look at the economic pain, Kieran.
Economic pain is not some type of abstract.
Hold on, please.
Economic pain is not some type of abstract phrase. Economic pain is people losing their jobs. Economic pain, if it happens, who knows? There might be more jobs created. But when you talk about economic pain, that means, you know, people saying to their kids, I've lost my job, we can't afford that as a family anymore. We can't afford to buy those clothes anymore. That's what economic pain means. Jack in Hollywood. Morning, Jack.
Well, hold on, let me
or will the country prosper? Morning, Jack. Yeah. Go ahead, Jack.
I want to just take up the point about yourself and Robert Kelly bang on a bit.
Phil Kelly.
About the people of Northern Ireland not having voted for Brexit.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, if there was a referendum on Irish unity, would people in Antrim and Down and Mid-Ulster, for instance, be entitled not to accept the result of it?
What do you mean?
What to say? I mean, if there was a referendum on the United Ireland, and I live in County Down, and I said, oh, I don't agree with that, and my part of the country doesn't agree with it, will I be able to say, well, we're definitely not having it here? Are you listening?
No one's... I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous?
Yeah, because what you're seeing is the understanding of credible people saying that Northern Ireland is clearly a special circumstance, you know, a society that's come out of conflict, that has the Good Friday Agreement, an international agreement, and therefore the talk around special status, etc., or, you know, special measures to help Northern Ireland navigate the Brexit that is rejected seems logical, seems like a sensible way forward.
Just cannot be allowed to stand. Would it be possible for
the Republic of Ireland special status to trade freely with the United Kingdom in the context of a wider trade deal and avoid all this problem?
Well, no, the Republic of Ireland didn't vote to leave the European Union. And what I would say, if I can come back to the World Trade Organization issue there, the kind of crash deal Brexit, if I could just explain, is either supported by the economically illiterate or by people like Jacob Rees-Mogg, who will not suffer financially from such a devastating consequence. You look at the tariffs that it would apply, especially to food and agriculture, would decimate our local economy. And if you look at the rules around bringing goods in, you cannot differentiate.
You're narrowing everything down to an economic thing. People who voted for Brexit voted because they want national sovereignty as opposed to being members.
That's what you believe.
That wants to have an army.
Okay, I said like Jimmy Bryson respond.
Sorry.
Well, firstly, this position about special status and a special circumstance is just nonsense. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom and is entitled to be treated the same as the rest of the United Kingdom on these issues in relation to sovereignty. So that just cannot be going unchallenged. And what the gentleman caller just said there is...
Except for abortion and gay marriage, right?
Well, let me answer that question for you, because I'm glad you brought that up. Because abortion and same-sex marriage are devolved matters. So people in one camp can't say, well, we support the Belfast Agreement, which means supporting devolution. But on the other hand, whenever devolution decisions don't go away, we want direct rule from Westminster. So have it one way or another. So see the people that make that argument. See if you want to have direct rule from Westminster, and that means same-sex marriage and abortion. I'm all for that.
Here's Jim and Derry. Morning, Jim. Morning, Jim.
Morning. Just like to clarify something with Stephen Kelly there. He said...
Phil Kelly. He's been called Robert Kelly. He's been called Stephen. What's wrong with you all this morning?
Man for all seasons.
Stephen's just a lovely name, that's all.
Yes.
No, just to clarify, he's on about, you know, the second referendum. It's actually the third referendum. We had a referendum in the 70s where we voted for a trade deal with the EEC, as it was then. And that's all we want now, is a trade deal. And that's what people voted for in the last referendum, just to have a trade deal. And that's what the EU will not give us.
Well, I'm afraid you can't make that point because we can't say what the people voted for because the referendum is so shallow in its its offer. What I would say to you is this, that, you know...
Look, let me just say, simply, we knew what we voted for in 1970. That has all changed. We've got a friend in Europe. We did not vote for that.
Let's just hold it there, James. Another James and Derry as well. Morning, James.
Sam, how they changed the James there, but I would just like to say, Stephen, a few points there. Just when I spoke to your researcher, actually says the point that Jamie just come on and which was just has been missed when he says he doesn't care about the hurt. My point was, I hope the people on the Shankill Road, Mount Vernon, Tigers Bay, remember who says they don't care if there's financial hurt.
Let me clarify. I don't let him.
Hold on. Let's let James finish. Let's let him finish.
Yes, exactly, Stephen. Please, the man is on 40 minutes on the show and he interrupts everyone. I am a license holder. I have every right to ask.
And you're doing it now, James.
Right,
so go ahead.
I have an uneducated academic, as he calls himself, is criticizing every single person. You say you're an academic, you're a solicitor, you're this.
Well, now hold on, James. Let's make the point about Brexit.
Could I have allowed you to make my point?
Yes.
My point is, when Jamie and come out and says it, he has just let out the cat out of the bag. It is irrespective of what hurt is caused to the ordinary working class people. Jacob Rees-Mogg, Johnson, Davis, they will not be buying the chlorinated chicken. They will not have to look for the medicines. They are multi-millionaires. It will not be the ordinary people in the Shankill Road who have to. They will have to suffer. When what was already says, it does not matter. When you quote 17 million people voted their democratic right, where did the 16 million people's democratic rights go? 16 million people voted against it. They can't be airbrushed out. They can't be says, oh, they can still have a right. They still have their rights. 16 million. Not 6 million, 5 million, 4 million.
So what would you do with the majority who voted to leave?
Right. The vote was, it went. I as an Irish Republican, have my opinion. I do not. But I do not come on and throw my opinion down and say, I hope that... that everyone suffers because I want a united Ireland. I want no one to suffer. I want a new Ireland. But I would hate to think that I would let any member of this society suffer for my view.
Okay, and Jamie, we'll let you reply to that.
Yeah, I think I need to reply to that. So, firstly, I did not say that I hoped anybody suffered. The point I was making was the Brexit referendum, people voted, and one of the calls made the point fantastically, people voted for national sovereignty. And the point I was making was that is the primary issue here. People voted to maintain their national sovereignty, and if the price of that is short-term economic gain, well, that is something that nobody wants. That is unfortunate, but at the end of the day, the democratic will of the people trumps all. And the European Union is a declining economic model as well. So long-term, the European Union is going down the tubes. But secondly, well, you know what? I'm not even going to answer all the personal slurs.
Okay. See the part where the European Union is a failing economic entity. You live in East Belfast or wherever you've done it. Can you tell me how you can describe countries like Germany, France, and Spain, and countries like that with massive tourism, massive businesses, massive infrastructures, and you describe them as failing when you come from West?
I don't come from West Belfast. The European Union.
Belfast.
I don't come from Belfast either. But anyway, the European Union.
Who cares?
Is not an economic, a decline in economic model.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you,
Phil Kelly, Jamie, thank you. James, thank you.